two venomous northern black widow spiders have been found and confirmed for the first time in Brown County, Wisconsin. Our next guest is part of the team that positively ID'd these spiders, and he said people shouldn't worry too much. Northern black widow spiders are rare to see, and their bites are even more rare.
And we want to hear from you on this. What kind of spiders are you seeing in your backyard or around your neighborhood right now? Do you have any questions about the spiders that you're seeing or about arachnids in general? You can call in with your questions and your spider stories at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And you can also post and share spider pictures over on the Central Time Facebook page.
Mike Draney joins us now. He's a professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW Green Bay, and he joins us from our Green Bay studios. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. Great to be back.
So tell us, what role did you play in finding these northern black widows?
Well, some concerned homeowners actually found the spiders and took pictures of them and even captured them in jars.
Wow.
And sent the photos to me. And people are always sending me things that they think are black widows. And occasionally they are black widows, but then they tend to be the introduced species that, you know, the western or southern species that cannot survive up here. You know, they can't survive the winter. And so when I saw this northern one, I got kind of excited, and I went over and took this. She donated the spider to me for study. And so that's why I was able to confirm that it was indeed the native species, the northern black widow, Atrodectus variolus.
I didn't know there were that many different kinds of black widow spiders, because I saw the pictures of these guys, or at least one of them, and they seem pretty unmistakable. They've got these great big red dots on them.
Yeah, that's right. And Latrodectus, the genus, the widow genus, there's about 40 species around the world, and most of them do have kind of this black and red warning coloration that warns smart animals like us that they have this really painful neurotoxin. But in the United States, there's about three species that are native. There's sort of a northern, southern, and a western species. And then there's a couple of others, like the one, a red one that lives in Florida. But there's an introduced one down in the deep south and in the southwest called the brown widow. So there's a number of species that people encounter, but pretty much just the one up here.
So why are they called black or brown widow spiders? What's the widow talking about?
The widow part has to do with their reproductive behavior, where oftentimes the females will eat their mates right after copulation, sometimes even during copulation. This happens because the males are so much smaller than the females. Not all of them do this. Not all of them do it all the time. But there are some species where the male just is pretty much obligatorily eaten by the female. So that's kind of interesting biology.
Yeah, not a very nice date, I would say.
That's right.
Just out of morbid curiosity, Mike, what happens if, you know, I get bitten by a black widow spider?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's important to realize you will absolutely know if you were bitten by a black widow spider, because it's very painful. It's a neurotoxin that causes a lot of pain, and it spreads from the site of the bite. It also causes muscle contraction, sort of involuntary muscle contraction, spasming and cramping. And so in general, I would characterize, I've never been bitten, but it seems like a very miserable time, although very few people die of black widow envenomation.
And how often does it happen in Wisconsin, for instance, that someone actually gets bitten by a black widow?
There's actually no documented cases of anyone being bitten by a black widow in the state of Wisconsin. It doesn't mean it's never happened, but it's a very rare event. It happens probably a handful of people in southern states where there are many, many black widows. And just to give you an example, where I grew up in New Mexico, in my backyard in Las Cruces, I could probably find a couple of dozen black widows on almost any day of the year.
Wow.
And so people live with hundreds of black widows in their environment, and yet few people are ever bitten. So the chance of you getting bitten in Wisconsin, where someone like me, I've been collecting spiders for nearly 20 years in Wisconsin. I've collected thousands and thousands of spiders, and I've never collected one myself. So they're fairly rare still.
Now, black widow spiders, they have a name. They're kind of famous or notorious. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of other spiders that live in Wisconsin, you know, that we don't know the names of. I was recently reading about the brown recluse not too long ago. What other spiders like that should we be aware of that might be a little more common?
Well, in terms of like medically important species, there's really nothing else to worry about. There are a few cases of brown recluses moving into houses from other parts of the country in Wisconsin. For the most part, brown recluses don't seem to be able to survive the winter, even in our heated homes, because it seems like it's too dry for them and they dry up and die. All the other species are more or less harmless, although some of them can bite. And some of the ones that can bite you, it might hurt, like a wasp sting or a bee sting. But there really are no other medically important species of spiders in Wisconsin.
We're talking with Mike Draney right now. He's a professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW Green Bay. And we are talking spiders. And Mike, I want to say I'm a big spider fan and I'm not afraid of them. I enjoy them.
Great.
You know, tell us. Thank you. Tell us about some of the great things that spiders do, why we should be happy when we see spiders around.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's important to remember that they are a part of our natural biodiversity. They're a part of the organisms that share this planet with us. And they're actually a pretty big chunk of biodiversity. They're the largest group of animals that consists entirely of predators. And there are over 500 species. We're not sure quite how many species live in Wisconsin, but at least 500 species live in Wisconsin. There are at least 46,000 species that live around the world. And altogether, I think probably the most important thing for just people in general is that they eat a huge number of insects, many of which bother us, eat our food, and so on. Someone has calculated a rough estimate that all the spiders on the planet eat about as many insects as the weight of all the people on the planet. So if you took all the 7 billion people and, you know, added that weight together, that's about how many insects they eat every year.
Wow.
And so they have a huge impact on our ecosystem and essentially are a stabilizing influence, and they result in fewer creepy crawlies. So what's not to like?
Let's take a caller now. We've got Deb joining us in Sheboygan. Deb, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I have a very interesting story that occurred this last weekend to my husband, who was kayaking on the river in Sheboygan. And he had just gotten into his kayak, and a friend of his stopped him and said, "Hey, come back here real quick. You got something on your back." He turned around, and he pulled off about a 3 to 4 inch large spider.
Wow.
That is huge. And my husband, if it was me, I would have freaked. My husband said, "Wow, that is so cool." And the guy threw it. But we wish we would have saved it, because we're not sure if it's a mouse spider. But in some of the research, we found out that particularly this spider usually goes after tadpoles or other things. So you can imagine how shocking this was. But I just want to get your feedback on that.
Interesting, Deb. Do you have any thoughts about that, Mike?
Yeah, I do. It's very likely to be a fishing spider. It's a genus called Dolomedes. They're kind of related to the wolf spiders that you see running around, but they're pretty large. They can be pretty large spiders, and they tend to be associated with aquatic habitats. Many of them will sort of hunt by using the water as a web. They put their front legs on the surface of the water, and they can feel vibrations of creatures moving underneath the water, and they can sort of climb into the water. They can't really swim, but they can kind of crawl on the bottom. And they mostly eat insects, but it's true they've been documented as eating tadpoles and even minnows. They're harmless. They're big enough, of course, to bite you if you picked it up the wrong way, but they're harmless. And I think that you'd be a great candidate for the state spider of Wisconsin.
We have a state
fishes,
everything
it likes
else.
Water.
We need a spider.
Yeah, absolutely. So Thanks. Maybe some school kids can get together on that.
Get a campaign going. Thanks for that call, Deb, at 800-642-1234. Mike, I know a lot of plants and other species of animals, insects, birds have been affected by climate change, and their ranges have changed because of warming and the winters not being as severe. Do we know if there are spiders that we are now finding in Wisconsin that maybe were in more southern climates before?
Yeah, I'm definitely monitoring that. I'm interested in that question as well. One thing that we are seeing from other research, not my research, but other research has shown that for a lot of insects, their the spiders are moving northward at the southern end of their range, but they're not moving northward at the northern end of their range. And so what's happening is their range is getting smaller. And that might, in fact, be what's going on. I'm not seeing a lot of spiders, a lot of new species from the south moving into Wisconsin. Really, I'm not seeing any of that. But one thing that might be happening is some spiders that are at the very northern edge of their range, like the northern widow, might be becoming more abundant as the climate becomes more favorable for their survival over the winter.
Right now, we're talking to spider expert Mike Draney from UW-Green Bay, and we're talking about, among other things, news that two northern black widow spiders were identified for the first time in Brown County.
And we're talking about all other things spider-related as well, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about spiders? How do you feel about them? Love them? Hate them? Just stay away from them? What kind of spiders are you seeing in your neighborhood now? Call in and share your spider stories and questions at 800-642-1234. You can also post pictures or share your thoughts over on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue our conversation and take more of your spidey calls in just a little bit. Stay with us on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And right now, we're picking up our conversation about spiders with Mike Draney from UW-Green Bay.
We're taking your calls, too, at 800-642-1234. You can call in and describe what spiders you're seeing to our spider expert. He can answer any questions you have about spiders or spider behavior. Do you love them, hate them, just want them to stay away? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post pictures of spiders on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll go to another caller right now. We've got Dan with us next, calling from Chippewa Falls. Dan, hi.
Hello. Say, I've recently found and photographed a marbled orb weaver, and that was never seen one before. It's very unique. And then I'm familiar with those fishing spiders, and I always thought they were a wolf spider. They hang out by the water on the dock and on the boat lift. And then just a couple weeks ago, I found the most unique caterpillar I've ever seen. It had a face on it, and it had a forked tongue, and it was about the size of your thumb. And I have not identified that one yet.
Well, you've been seeing a lot of cool stuff, Dan. And we have a picture up here in the studio of the marbled orb weaver, I think it is. It's pretty beautiful, I have to say. It's not kind of what you expect for creepy crawlies. It's sort of decorative.
That's right. That's hence the name. It kind of looks marbled. It's a native spider, and it gets to be quite large, so people start noticing them. They start off in the summer. They're small, and they make their web very low in the vegetation, but they keep building it higher and higher as they get bigger. And so by the time you get to August, September, people start really noticing them. So that's one of the sort of Halloween spiders that people start to notice in the late summer.
And Mike, Dan from Chippewa Falls had an interesting point. A lot of homeowners say that there are lots of spiders near their lake houses. Does that match up with your experience and what we know about preferred spider habitat?
Yeah, to some extent, yeah. I mean, the lakes are going to be producing a lot of aquatic insects that emerge and fly away, right? Especially midges. And so this constant input of these aquatic insects into the terrestrial environment is just a great place for spiders to be intercepting those animals. And so some spiders are even sort of specialized in that. There's long-jawed orb weavers that they make a spiral orb web, but they make it horizontal because it intercepts emerging insects that are coming out of the water, and they often build their web over water. And so there are many spiders that will build up to be more common, more abundant on people's houses and docks and things near the water.
And speaking of webs, Mike, we learned something interesting getting ready for the show today. Apparently spiders eat their webs and start over when there is, for instance, a storm coming. Is that right? Do all spiders eat their own webs?
Not all of them, but the ones that make the nice spiral orb web, it's a fairly minimalistic structure, and most of those spiders will take it down every day and then put up a new one every day. It takes about an hour to do that. And so they get a fresh web, and when they take their web down, they ball it up into a little ball and eat it. And it's made of protein, and so they recover the amino acids so they can make some more silk later.
Wow, that's really fascinating. Let's go back to the phones, and Corrine in Waupaca is up. Hi, Corrine.
Hi there.
Hi. Go ahead.
I was wondering, how do you get rid of a spider phobia?
Do you feel like you have one, Corrine?
I know I have one.
All right. Well, I'm sure this is something, Mike, that you have come across. What would you recommend to someone who has what they realize might be an irrational fear of spiders?
Yeah, well, first I just have to tell her that, you know, she's definitely not alone and that it's a sort of a natural thing, I might say, because when people have studied this, it's not related to a particular culture. All around the world in all different cultures, something like 10% of people seem to have this heightened fear of spiders, which sometimes can be brought about by a negative experience. About the only advice I would have to people is to learn about spiders. I think the more you realize that they're just part of our natural world and they're, in fact, not out to get us, across the board, they're not out to get us. That's not what they do. I think it would make you a little bit more comfortable with them. But other than that, I'm not a psychologist, so it's not really my field.
Mike Draney's with us right now, professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW Green Bay, talking spiders with us right now. It's summer. It's peak spider season. Mm-hmm. One of our producers is even going on spider walks to try to see spiders, and I've actually started noticing them more, mm-hmm. too. And, you know, they are beautiful, and the webs are definitely something to admire. Let's go back to another caller now, and you can join us if you've got a spider story, spider appreciation, or anything else to share about spiders. 800-642-1234 is the number, and Mike is next in Madison. Mike, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a story that it's kind of a medical mystery. There may be a spider involved. Maybe you can help me clear this up. About a month ago, I noticed a small welt on the inside of my left forearm, maybe less than half an inch in diameter, kind of felt like a small bruise. And within 8 hours, I was in an emergency room. The bruise had grown to an inch and a quarter in diameter and puffed up, you know, filled with clear liquid, and I had a 103.3 fever. And ended up spending 3 days in the hospital on all kinds of antibiotics, and they're running all kinds of tests to try and figure out what it was. About a week after I got home, I actually saw a small spider in my bed. It was not a black widow. I've used to live in Southern California, so I'm well acquainted with those. Very fast, managed to catch it, got some pictures of it. I'm just trying to figure out what in the world happened so that I can avoid it happening again. Mm-hmm. Is there any possibility? I know I heard you talking earlier. It's very, very unlikely for someone to have a medical problem from a spider bite here in Wisconsin, but something bit me, and I had a really bad reaction to it.
So it may or may not have been a spider. Interesting, Mike. And Mike, do you have any thoughts or diagnoses for Mike there?
As far as the spider bites go, your symptoms are not consistent with any spider, pretty much period, and certainly no spider that lives in this area. So the couple things. One is if you get bit by a spider, in general, you're very well aware of it. It's like no one ever says, I wonder if I got stung by a wasp yesterday. It's because if you get stung by a wasp, it really hurts, and then you look down, and there's a wasp stinging you. And that's the way it is usually with spiders, too, that they have painful bites. The other thing is that spiders are not very likely to bite you when you're sleeping or anything. Not that it never happens, but there's so many other animals that actually want to bite us and try to bite us and do, in fact, routinely bite us all the time. And so I'm not sure why it is that when people see things, they tend to blame a spider when there's no other culprit. Yeah. Finding a spider in your bed is not really that unusual. Getting bitten by that spider would be unusual. So my guess is it's a bacterial infection that's very commonly misdiagnosed for spider bites.
Thanks for that call, Mike. And let's go to Bruce and Cable next. Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, when I was a child of my brother, sister, and I, we were about 8, 10, 6 years old. My dad was an entomologist for the Milwaukee Museum, and he had a pet, or at least a captive black widow spider in a little observation case about 6 by 4 by 2 inches with a glass window. And he'd let us, you know, hold it and there was an access hole to put insects in there. I don't remember ever wanting to feed them, but apparently it was fed because we had them for quite a while. But I remember holding them and thinking, if this glass broke, I'd probably die. And so we were always very respectful of that that little critter.
Thanks for that call, Bruce. And, you know, there is something to be said, Mike, I think, for even insects that, you know, might be slightly dangerous, that, you know, there's a lot to respect and appreciate about them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. I mean, you know, just like a lot of people really want to have, you know, natural animals like wolves around, even though there's some danger there, but they are a native animal, and we're, you know, we should probably share the planet with all these other organisms. The black widow is actually quite reluctant to bite people too. So there were some scientists who were trying to study the effects of the black widow venom back in the 50s, and they reported having great difficulty getting the spiders to bite them. Their first instinct is to play dead. They curl up in the little ball and play dead. So I've got one of the black widows still in my lab, and I'm not worried at all that it's going to bite me. There's no question about that.
And Mike, we just have less than a minute to go, but could you wind up by giving us a little spider appreciation? Tell us about one or two of your favorite Wisconsin spiders and why you love them.
where would I start? It's definitely spider season right now, and one thing I always think about is the web is like a fossil of their behavior. They make these beautiful structures out in nature that a human couldn't even do, and they've got a brain the size of a grain of pepper. And so it's really amazing to see those. They're sort of like, I think of them as enhancements to the environment rather than just something that's messy. So.
And Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Mike Draney, professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW Green Bay, talking about spiders.